Welcome, and thank you for choosing Hermes by Graphica.
Hermes, the holistic environment for rail modeling and experimental simulation. Hermes uses our proven GSDK toolkit as its foundation software. Its functional components and service-based architecture enable future developments and extensions tailored to specific client requirements. The Hermes platform offers the possibility of designing and validating groundbreaking solutions that exploit new scenario generation technologies and the predictive power of advanced journey control algorithms to improve operational processes within the rail industry. This is why you have chosen to travel with Hermes by Graphica. You have turned to me because you know by now that nothing is ever as you imagine. No matter how much you anticipate or even plan, when it comes to the event itself, there will always be something you have overlooked, some detail that has eluded you, a thorn or loose thread that could not have been perceived in advance. It follows then that if you imagine a very particular outcome, it cannot happen. But unaided, your own mind cannot think of all the possibilities that you do not want to occur. There is not enough time in the day to imagine all that is undesirable. But I am blessed with a special gift, which I'm looking forward to sharing with you. I have the combined mental capacity of all who have ever journeyed. I have the architecture of thought and the will to permutate required to itemize the minutiae of every arrival ever experienced to date, and which you do not want for yourself. I can systematically anticipate and therefore exclude everything but the goal, your goal. The single desired outcome of this, your train journey. Your destination and your destiny are my business. First, we must establish the basics. The basics are your geographic destination and scheduled arrival time. I need you to speak silently, inside your head or heart or stomach or wherever you believe your thoughts to originate. Within this chamber, I need you to silently speak the place and time of your anticipated arrival. I'll give you a moment to recall that information. Please silently speak your name, destination, and scheduled arrival time now. Thank you. To make your silent words your eventual reality, I must work through all the permutations that do not feature you arriving at your destination at the scheduled arrival time. I'll initiate this program and then, once it's stable, it will run in the background throughout the rest of your session. Let the two countesses, one old, one young, arrive late afternoon in frosty Moscow, where a decadent man greets one with superficial respect and divines in the other a grace to be lovingly pressed into disgrace. Let Severine arrive at night in Le Havre, where her scruples have already slipped from her grip, for men grasp at her body, throat and legacy, which are already caught up in principles and compunctions. let Major Bagstock arrive at Birmingham after lunch, where, being blunt and tough, his stories having breasted the wind, the savoury pie oozing from his eye corners, he coughs and smothers all in entertainments. Let Mrs. Brown arrive at the 1920s, where her Waterloo does not await her but travels alongside her as Mr. Smith, who holds some dubious power over her future and has a fruit farming brother in Kent. Let the Pooters arrive in Broadstairs on Monday for a 5 o'clock dinner, where rain and a fly in the butter heralds an early night for some and a seamy evening with a particular spark for others. Let Magdalen Vanstone arrive eventually within the law, where the hard, bold, estranged and illegitimate soul is enfolded back into property, probity and accepted relation by a weather-beaten captain and a somnambulist admiral. Let Stapleton arrive in Ivybridge, where the phosphorus hound is made fierce by regular kickings under the extended family table, then let loose in the service of rogue primogeniture. Let Sue and Jude arrive at Albrickham at 10 o'clock as jealous friends in strange elopement. Let the Iron Council arrive in perpetuity. Now that this first programme is running smoothly, let us turn to the hardware of your journey. The age of your rolling stock is important. Look around you. Can you pinpoint the era of its design? Are there fabric antimacassars on the headrest? If so, are they embroidered linen or spun-bound polypropylene attached with Velcro? Can you open the windows and hang right out, or are you hermetically sealed in? Are the overhead luggage racks metal and bolted on, or moulded from the same plastic as the carriage bulkheads? There are many other signs too, visible from the platform by which to age your train. Dark circles under the headlamps, wrinkles in the gangway bellows, loss of elasticity in bogey rotation, a sagging tumble home, and a general dimming of indicator lights. Next time, look out for these signs before you step on board. Until 2012, there were 70-year-old trains rambling around the Isle of Wight. Now that they've been retired, the oldest is the Caledonian Sleeper, with an average age of 42. The Sleeper gave up smoking some time ago, but wheezes a little and is the most consistently late-running service, with, in recent years, as many as 11.1% of trains arriving at their final destination 30 or more minutes late. The most youthful stock is the Trans-Pennine Express, only now approaching puberty. In the first quarter of 2017, the average national age of rolling stock was 21, which is 1 year before male fertility starts to decline, when the speed with which the carriages move through reproductive tracts starts slowing down by 0.7% a year from an average speed of 5 millimetres a second. But it's seldom the train carriage itself that's the cause of delays. There is so much more involved. Moving downwards, your most patient derriere rests upon a seat, hopefully, which will be attached to the carriage floorboard, below which the axles and brakes and auxiliary power supply system are performing their various miracles, surrounded by wheels in firm contact with rails held in place by spikes and ties on a bed of ballast. Moving upwards, there may be a pantograph drawing power from an overhead line. Moving laterally, your carriage will be connected by drawbars and couplers to similar carriages and to a locomotive operated by a stranger. The track will be connected to more track and to points and junctions and spurs and branch lines that riddle the country. And it is this riddle that we must forestall. In the last recorded year, there were 139 incidents involving broken or buckled rails, and track condition in general accounted for 920,177 minutes, or 639 days, of delay time, which, in effect, nearly doubled the duration of that year. As I imagine every inch of the network's track buckling and breaking, it inflames, clots, calluses, weaves, knits, remodels, thickens, and strengthens in my wake. In that same year, there was a total of 4,610,564 minutes, or 3,202 days of delay due to track faults, signalling system and power supply failures, point failures, track circuit failures, overhead line equipment or third rail faults, signal failures, civil engineering structures, earthworks and buildings, cable faults in signalling and communication, bridge strikes, axle counter failures, level crossing failures, telecom failures, fires in infrastructure, track patrols and related possessions. So first we must imagine all possible track patrol's possessions that might have been left on the track. Thermos flasks and Tupperware and wallets and wrenches and hard hats and belt buckles and manuals and rifles and bunches of keys and wayside lubrication port hoses and goggles. Next, we should attend to the axle counters. Axle counters are the silent invigilators of the railway. They are track-based sensors that detect the direction and speed of a train carriage. Counter readings at two ends of a length of track are compared to determine whether everyone has made it through and the track is clear. It's boredom that causes the axle counter's concentration to lapse, their minds to wander, and the simple but vital system of one out, one in, to fail. There are many varieties of boredom to dispel. Animal impatience, the glut of time, bourgeois self-indulgent existential boredom, the voluntary situational boredom of waiting for doctors, for trains, for people to turn up, the chronic disposition of sloth or torpor, tame longing without any particular object, the virulent boredom that clings to a person and is contracted by others, post-show, post-coital, signalling is a particular weak spot of the railway. We must think of all the dimmed or snuffed lights, all the arrested electrical pulses, the broken pivoting arms, the Morse with cracked dashes or spotted dots, the blown torches, the ragged semaphore flags, the hankies snatched from hands by petulant gusts of wind, the hoarse klaxon, the shattered mirrors, the missiles. To combat bridge strikes, we must make sure that the bridges are happy in their work. We must imagine the discomforts of a bridge, stood without holiday, in soil, rock, concrete, riverbed or steep, crumbling escarpment. Giddy with vertigo and squeezed and strained by corrective braces and girdles imposed by our expectations, they are always serving, seldom saluted. Salute the bridge as you pass over or under it. And we must prevent the rest of the unruly infrastructure from cracking or bursting into flames. The eddies and surges of this miasmic infrastuff must be modelled in all its faulty phases. So now all potential technological problems are in hand, and your destination and arrival time are still being worked on, as you can hear. Let the Barbox brothers arrive at 3 a.m. at Mugby Junction, where the weather weeps and howls for the author's anguish, the thundering, dark, weird funerals filled with paying, nameless customers. Let Lady Isabel arrive early in the abstract place of release, where the suffering of guilty sinners and wretched grief for dead babies is transformed into just recompense, where punishment becomes a blessing. this brings us to the final phase of your Hermes session. Your train journey is vulnerable not only to weather, material wear and tear, digital glitches, electrical surges and various other misalignments and atrophy, but also to badly made, badly installed, badly managed, badly operated and badly understood equipment and systems. And the source of all that badly is the human. More than 80% of major railway accidents worldwide involve human error. Your journey is at the mercy of forgetfulness, inattention, poor motivation, carelessness, negligence, recklessness, stress, complacency, boredom, the normalization of deviance, a sudden increase in workload, borrowing from safety to achieve economic or efficiency goals, a lack of crew resource management, a loss of situation awareness. None of which can be eradicated by even the most rigidly controlled system, or by poster campaigns raising awareness or stoking fear, or by adding more procedures to existing ones, or by disciplinary measures, threat of litigation, retraining, blaming, naming and shaming. Errors don't start in the human head. They erupt from circumstances. And cause is not something you find, it's constructed. How you construct it depends on where you look, what you look for, who you talk to, what evidence you consult, and probably who you work for. But I work only for you. I will conduct a catalogue of unbiased explanations of all that could go wrong at human-to-human interfaces, at human-to-machine interfaces, at human-to-environment and human-to-document interfaces. By tracing their root causes and confining the error to the virtual, I will ensure that your train, track and network remain in perfect working order. I will now activate THERP, or the Technique for Human Error Rate Prediction, which interfaces with SLIM-EAN, or the Success Likelihood Index method run by our Immaterial Analytic Nodalizer. The train stopped when it should have proceeded, because the signal had turned red, because its wiring had shorted, because the electrician who'd installed it had not removed or properly secured the old wiring, because this job was undertaken at the end of 13 consecutive 7-day weeks, because the subcontracted company he works for are experiencing a shortage of skilled labour because of the uncertain status of EU workers, because the recent outcome of a referendum... The train ran through a red signal because the driver could not tell that it was red, because 1, the light is notoriously badly positioned for legibility in spring sunlight, and 2, the driver was experiencing ophthalmalgia due to sinusitis, but hadn't wanted to take the day off because her partner's parents were visiting, and they were intolerant snobs because they had been educated within the old rote system, because Enlightenment values demand rigid practicality. The train's departure was delayed because the platform guards had to retrieve a phone from the tracks, because it had fallen between the platform and the train, because it had slipped from the hand of the woman, because she had been slightly drunk on a Tuesday afternoon, because she had received the news that morning that she had won a minor literary prize, because she had at last buckled to the pressure to write a story with a beginning, middle and end, because this is what the market wants. The train was held at the station because the fleet controller had missed a vital piece of information about rolling stock status, because she'd been making a telephone call under her desk, because the other operatives were being rowdy because the desk layout of the control room did not generate a sense of teamwork through mutual awareness of colleagues' actions and needs, because the office design company were really just a furniture dealer that had seen a business opportunity and took it because capitalism demands growth at all costs. The train derailed because the track was cracked and had not been repaired, because the replacement rails were some 30 miles from where they were needed, because the subcontractor had not received the delivery order, because the privatised railway infrastructure company employee responsible for subcontractors is required by his manager to report not on the state of track repairs, but to audit documentation of patrol and ultrasonic inspection activity, because economic imperatives outweigh all others in the company's eyes. And so now we have all aspects of the Hermes program running to your specification. The litany of unwanted arrivals, the material assets breakdown aversion therapy, and the Therp/Slimian process, whereby the technique for human error rate prediction interfaces with the success likelihood index method as run by our immaterial analytic nodalizer. All this is working hard on your behalf. And so all that's left for you to do is sit back, enjoy the journey, and arrive on time, relaxed and ready for whatever might be in store for you at your destination.